This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, folks, and we'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Lot going on. And let's first talk about Title 42. Title 42, in court, the court has said on eliminating Title 42 at this time, May 23rd, today's the day that it is supposed to run out. We have set record numbers of folks crossing the border. And you will recall that Title 42 is the public health provision that allows the Border Patrol agents to move folks back across the border for purposes of public health. So a recent poll came out and said that 55% of American adults oppose the ending of the use of the order known as Title 42, and 45% who think the order should end. The vast majority of those folks in the 55% are Republicans. The vast majority of the others are Democrats. No surprise there, but the fact of the matter is that this continues to be a mess. Now, how bad is this? Well, here in Louisiana, they just revealed a case of a boat that left Honduras to coastal Louisiana. The ship's voyage was to pass through the pass at Grand Isle and head to an inland harbor carrying 24 illegals, and it turns out they were carrying a lot of cocaine as well. Well, the boat ran out of gas, and a storm moved in. It almost sank, and the U.S. Coast Guard went just 80 miles off the shore of the state of Louisiana and came in contact with this boat that actually was owned and operated by some Americans out of a Pennsylvania corporation that purported to recruit and train employees from Latin America and supply them to U.S. factories. It was also allegedly a vet company. So when we think that this is not affecting our communities here, we're sadly mistaken. When we look at it from afar and we think it's not going to be a challenge here, we are sadly mistaken. This will affect everyone, and it has. How is it that you would respond to whether or not you're in the wrong place at the wrong time and coming in contact with folks that are actually smuggling illegals into the country as well as cocaine? And that you run across these individuals carrying their 53 pounds of cocaine as they hit an interior harbor here in Louisiana. It may not be a pretty outcome, especially if you walk upon something, you notice something, and they don't want to get caught right? So we shouldn't just think about it going on over there. There's obviously pressure on the border right now. Hopefully there's going to be additional pressure on the border, so they're looking for alternative means in smuggling cocaine, fentanyl, whatever it may be, and we don't even know whether or not this stuff was fentanyl-laced cocaine or not. We may find out at one point in time here, but it continues to be a challenge. And we see the lengths that people will go through in order to smuggle these folks, human trafficking, into this country. What do you think these 24 paid to get on that ship? I'd love to know that number. To circumvent the rules and the regulations and the laws of this country. The Biden administration is going to appeal the federal district court ruling here in Louisiana. They don't get it, do they? We now have jurisdictions going back to mask wearing inside. We've seen increasing numbers being reported, but at the border, no longer a public health problem. Add to it, we're seeing people that are traveling from afar, and we've seen folks at the border from almost name a country in the world, and they're represented at the border. And now we're looking at the migration of monkeypox into this country, not a public health issue. If you're coming into the country legally, through a port, through a crossing or otherwise, all of that is checked. Not now. We don't do it. We continue to ignore what is actually happening. And this administration continues to try to make a point by not doing what it's legally required to do. In fact, they would much rather look at parents of kids who go to school board meetings as though they are domestic terrorists. In fact, there's some new information relative to, you remember that letter that was written by the National School Board Association relative to parents showing up at school board meetings, very upset about what was being taught, the way that some violence cases were handled within the confines of the school, whether or not kids were sexually assaulted, whether it was covered up or not, and they were upset about that. All of these things that you as parents and myself as a parent would be upset about if there wasn't transparency at these schools. Well, they wrote a letter, you will recall, to the White House and U.S. Attorney Merrick Garland. It turns out in the letter that they actually asked for the military. We asked, quote, "We ask that the Army National Guard and its military police be deployed to certain school districts and related events where students and school personnel have been subjected to acts and threats of violence." They go on to say that at these meetings that these folks are domestic terrorists. Well, it turns out Chip Slavin, he's the executive director of this organization, and he had active coordination of he worked at active coordination with the White House senior advisor to the president on education, Mary Wall, was the one that requested all of this, and they cited over 20 alleged episodes of threats from parents against school board administrators. However, after discovered these, most of them just simply involve parent shouting matches or non-compliance with mask policies at meetings. This is the new definition of a domestic terrorist. The U.S. attorney, you will recall, issued a memo directing the FBI to collaborate with state U.S. attorneys and federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies to probe and potentially prosecute these threats against teachers and administrators in school districts nationwide. It doesn't seem as though they did so because the pushback was so intense that they recognized and realized that this was silliness. but nonetheless, the threat still continues. But we're more interested in doing this than we are in dealing with the sanctity and security of our own border. We'd love to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Please quit saying that the Biden administration does not get it. They do get it, but their main objective is to destroy our country, and no one is doing anything to stop them on the text line. I don't know. I think some of them do get it. I would agree with you. I think some of them don't get it. They don't realize where this is going operationally from a management standpoint or otherwise, and they're just hoping for the best. This is all about politics, folks. When we come back, we'll talk about the support they have of a Democrat who's opposed to abortions as well. But it's amazing. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, anytime I talk about the immigration policy in this country, we talk about the rebuild effort here and the aftermath of Katrina and how many hardworking Hispanic-speaking folks, Spanish-speaking folks have the primary and pivotal role that they played in the rebuild. No one discounts that at all. A very hardworking group of individuals. I know. I grew up in Hispanic culture. I understand it. It has nothing to do with that. This is all about the sanctity of our borders and how we are going to handle immigration. It's as if and though people believe that we don't have a right to do so. Every other country in the world does so. You as a U.S. citizen, pick a country, any country, and go through the process to become a citizen in those countries and see what you are going to be up against. Better yet, go and stay there illegally and find out what you're going to be up against. We're a little naive when it comes to this. Immigration policy can be a very pro-economic thing, a pro-diversity issue for sure, and can be very positive. But for whatever reason, we can't come to a situation in this country that makes sense. We've been playing with this thing for decades and can't seem to get off of center, because we want to create an amnesty for everyone who actually has come here illegally and reward them over those that have waited outside of the country to come in. The fact of the matter is that you're never going to get votes for that. So there needs to be a different, separate pathway that is agreed upon by parties to get to where we're going to be. It's hypocrisy at the highest degree, much like what we're about to talk about now. So you got this representative, Henry Cuellar, really bright guy. I've followed his career a little bit. He is in a really tough district down there in South Texas, and he's actually endorsed by Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, Jim Clyburn, the Majority Whip, and many others. And his challenger that's running against him, not so much, Jessica Cisneros. Jessica does not have many folks endorsing her, and it's interesting. You know why it's interesting? Henry Cuellar is pro-life. He's against abortions unless rape, incest, or health of the mother, with the exceptions that we always talk about. Now, what's interesting here is that there are very few people that are broke with Democratic ranks, because Jessica Cisneros is much more progressive than Henry Cuellar. And obviously, the disdain, the disgust for candidates with a similar view from a different party is not true when it happens in their own party. Just another example of the double standard that Democrats have as it relates to these issues. Now, the real reason why they're not getting all crazy about Cuellar is that there's a Republican that's going to run in a general primary who they fear may win. In fact, Biden only won this district by 7 points. Democrats historically have won this district by double digits and sometimes as high as 20-something percent. But the demographics are changing. How are they changing? Much larger Hispanic community there, closely aligned to the Catholic Church, and have very conservative beliefs. So they can stomach it. It's like taking a gallon of Pepto-Bismol when it's within their own party. They can figure out a way to work through this juxtaposition of their disgust and disdain and their attack on all others, meaning conservatives, but not within their own party, because they know they may get beat. And the last thing they want is another progressive member of their party in coming out of Texas, which they don't believe that that's going to help anyway. In fact, Democratic elected officials in and around that area all say that this is going to be a real problem in the general election. She most likely will get beat. So the progressive side of the party has really come out for her. That's Cisneros, that is. Pramila Jayapal from Washington, you know, we've heard of her as being one of the most progressive in the House for sure, is coming out. Now, the Democratic Party, they have a litmus test for everyone else, but not for themselves. So this litmus test on the issue of abortion, they're looking the other way. It's just interesting to find these little caveats where you've heard me talk about the best and the worst thing about this country being a two-party system, because it's all about control. If control is in the balance, it's amazing, absolutely amazing, as to what the party leadership can overlook. And then all of a sudden, the issue, the protesting in the streets, the name-calling of conservatives and independents and alike that are pro-life, it all goes away. Because why? They need that vote. They need that vote on other issues. We can look past the abortion issue for the greater good of the party. It's amazing how that works. Because if you were to hear Nancy Pelosi at the mic the other day, this would be the linchpin issue that will bring down the country. She's even sacrificed her ability to receive the Eucharist because the bishop in her area where she attends church said she's not allowed to receive communion, not allowed to receive it. So she has a lot at stake. But mighty duplicitous in her view as to how this is ultimately going to happen. And everyone is looking the other way. And they don't really, in fact, they respond by saying, I really don't have anything to say on that issue. Because there is nothing that they can say on that issue. And they don't want to sound even crazier than they sound already on some of these issues. Because they can't square it up within their own party. So stop the shenanigans of calling everybody out and them being the devil incarnate as it relates to this issue, unless you're willing to call your own by the same names. We'll be right back after the break. Give us a call, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell on WWL.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are back, folks. Open lines, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Give us a shout. Let's go to Kristen on line one. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's thanks for having me on. I actually, one of our members sent me a text and said you were talking about pro-life Democrats and that I should call in, because I'm the head of Democrats for Life. We're a national pro-life organization, and we represent and support pro-life Democrats.
So how well-received are you in the Democratic Party?
It depends on where you are in the nation. And as far as the National Democratic Party, not so welcome at this current moment. We've been trying to meet with the chair of the Democratic Party for almost a year, and he has refused to meet with elected pro-life Democrats and start a conversation on how we can be more inclusive in our party with people who believe in protecting the sanctity of life.
How are you received in the Democratic Party here in Louisiana?
Well, great. We have a lot of pro-life Democrats in Louisiana, including the governor, Senator Katrina Jackson and others. So it's a different down in Louisiana. Is because it's a strong pro-life state, and it just seems to be more inclusive than the rest of the country.
Yeah, Kristen, what I was talking about is Henry Cuellar. He is a pro-life Democrat, you know, in Congress. And, you know, a lot of the mainstay, Pelosi, Jim Clyburn, and all of those folks are supportive of Henry and not his challenger, Jessica Cisneros. And there was a big article written about this in Politico. And it, I just find it a little odd, you know, that the their disgust and disdain for folks that are pro-life, when you hear them talk, I mean, you can just see it all over their face, whether it's contrived or not. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, they're willing to overlook it in the case of Henry because they're afraid they'll lose that seat to a Republican.
Absolutely. If Cisneros does defeat him tomorrow, the seat is very likely to go into Republican hands. You know, it's a D plus four seat, which means it's very, very close. And when you put somebody who is endorsed by Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and AOC to run in that seat, you may win a primary just by getting people out to vote. But she's not going to be able to pull off the election in the fall if she does defeat Henry. And the leadership recognizes that. Just so it's the progressive wing of the Democratic Party really doesn't care about the health of the Democratic Party itself. They're just very focused on their left-leaning agenda and not the good of the party or the good of the country.
But what do you say about the leadership that is willing to castigate and characterize in a very negative way conservative pro-life individuals, but not the Democrats? I mean, do you, and I know exactly where you are, but I mean, do you feel this sense of hypocrisy?
Oh, you know, I think sometimes I write messages back a lot, like, because they attack the pro-life movement in general, you know, our own party does. And I'm saying, you're forgetting that there are people within this party that share the views of a lot of the conservative Republicans when it comes to protecting life in the womb, even more so now because the left side of the party has shifted it so much that there are a lot of prenatal protections in Louisiana. But when you look at other states like New Jersey, California, New York, most recently Connecticut, they're eliminating health and safety regulations governing abortion and allowing non-doctors to perform abortions, allowing abortion up to 9 months for any reason. So it's very scary to see what's happening in the other part of the country and really not protecting women and not protecting the preborn. And so we really, as pro-life Democrats, we really need to be louder and speak out more. You know, a lot of people are afraid to say that they're pro-life because they feel like the backlash, if they speak up, it's going to be scary. So we really need people to speak up. You know, if you're pro-life, speak up. For pro-life Democrats, speak up even louder.
But they're not willing to even have a conversation with you. So what do you do? I mean,
I think this next election is going to be very instrumental for them in learning the importance of the pro-life vote, because it's already not looking good for Democrats this election cycle. But when you take a state like Ohio, where there's a big Senate race there, and the Senate is 50-50 right now. And so, but pro-life Democrats there are very concerned about supporting a candidate who voted for the Women's Health Protection Act, which goes further than Roe and, you know, follows what California and New York are doing in eliminating health and safety regulations and allowing abortion for any reason. So the pro-life Democrats in Ohio are very concerned about supporting a candidate who believes that. So there might be, I see a lot of those votes switching, and the pro-life vote can provide a 5% advantage to the candidate who's pro-life, and that could play a huge difference this election cycle because of the possibility that Roe is going to be overturned and the extreme direction the Democratic Party is going on this issue and not even willing to have conversations on it.
You know what I find very interesting, too, and would love to hear your comments. You talked about it being a D plus four district where Henry Cuellar is running. It wasn't too terribly long ago. It was a D plus double digit district. The demographics have changed substantially. I mean, a much larger Hispanic community there. And the interesting, issue is that A lot of people don't understand, you know, the pro-Christian, very solid pro-Christian faith of a lot of the Hispanic community that are not pro-abortion.
Right. The Hispanic community is very much more on the pro-life side. So there is that gives Henry Cuellar actually an advantage there.
Yes, it does.
On that issue. Except for the abortion side does have a very good way of kind of spinning it, making it look like a negative when it really isn't. Henry Cuellar's views are very consistent with the Hispanic community and most Americans by that manner of reasonable regulation, reasonable limitation, you know, protecting both mother and child. We'd like to say choose both, but you shouldn't pit one against the other. Let's do the best that we can for both of them, the mother and the child. And we don't need to kill the child. That shouldn't be the first and you know, pushed as the best choice by the abortion community. So, you know, we've been supporting Henry Cuellar and making calls, and we are hopeful that he will win and go on to win in November.
Kristen, if you could text me your contact information at newell@wwl.com, I would appreciate it, because I'd like to get you back
sure.
on as we continue to talk about these issues across the country. It's good to have someone, you know, representative from the Democratic Party that is pro-life.
There are a lot of us.
I think the, you know, kind of the misunderstanding or misimpression is out there that there are not many of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of us. A lot of us just being silent. But we have some new candidates coming up. I mean, John Bel Edwards is one of them. You know, just never hid his pro-life convictions. And I think Katrina Jackson in Louisiana, we call them unapologetic pro-life Democrats. No, he signed the 6-week abortion limitation bill into the law, you know, in his first term. And, you know, we have other people following that lead of just saying, I'm pro-life, I'm not going to change my mind, and I'm proud of being pro-life. So we have some very exciting candidates running on that plank. And so we just need more people doing that. We had a great woman up in Connecticut who won a special election in December, spoke out against an abortion bill, and people were so inspired by her views. We had 17 other members vote with her against the abortion bill in the Democratic Party in Connecticut. So we're seeing more of it.
Yeah. And Katrina Jackson is really a rising star in the Louisiana Democratic Party from North Louisiana. I worked with her on some criminal justice bills. Always found her to be fair and transparent.
She's I'm one of her biggest fans. I just love her. She's just a great leader, and you know, she's looking out for how do we help people and how do we get there the best way, and you know, work across the aisle, work with anybody to do that. So we're really proud of her, and I'm glad to endorse and support Katrina Jackson.
That dirty word, compromise, work across the aisle.
You know? I think going forward, especially in a post-Roe.
That folks look with disdain and disgust, really both ways. I mean, you know, so there's no shortage there. Well, Kristen, best of luck to you.
No.
Thank you so much for calling
Thank
in. We
you.
Truly appreciate it.
Sure.
Let's go to Roy.
Sure,
Roy, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Excuse me, Newell. The reason why I'm calling is more related to, related to the immigration, but you're looking at it from an engineering and construction aspect as well. There's items such as, with the influx, the amount of influx of people, there are such items as potable water, there's garbage collection, schools, hospitals, roads, sewer disposal, food in general. And I could go on and on. And I just don't think the federal government is taking this into consideration. You know, it's not just people that are coming across the border, but these are things that are going to affect even small towns. And that's my input. And one last thing, Noel, is you said there were some individuals that were apprehended off the coast of Louisiana. My wife and I were talking just recently that it's not going to be, if this Title 42 goes through, it's our opinion that this is going to expand, let's call it eastward, from Louisiana to Mississippi to into Alabama. I think that's my personal opinion, and I don't think it's unreasonable.
No, I don't either. I mean, it's affecting everyone, and this is not anything new. And this is not it. And I'm not anti-immigration. I'm very much pro-immigration. I just believe we need to set the rules and follow them. I mean, they hold us all accountable as citizens. Why wouldn't we hold everybody else accountable as well? I don't get it.
If I go next door and
steal somebody's property that's worth $10 and they file a complaint, they come arrest me.
I agree.
Which is what they should do. Hey, that's what we want them to do. I mean, but yet we're creating a class of citizens that gets a free ride on everything. We have 39, almost 40 million people that live below the federally identified poverty level here. Who'd have thunk that one day we wouldn't have baby formula? So now we want to increase this problem. We want to have a larger draw on this right now. No, I wouldn't think that that's what we would want to do, but that's what we're doing, and it just doesn't make any sense. It's just absolute craziness. I have nothing against immigrants. My mother's first generation. I mean, I get it. I am the beneficiary of the largesse of this country, and very fortunate. I love this country, and I understand why everybody wants to come to this country, in spite of those that think it's a bad place. It's the greatest place in the world, and if you want to succeed, you can succeed. Hard work.
I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Got to get to the break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. So I got a text, people asking me about how does it break down of those that live below the federally identified poverty level. Well, it breaks down this way, folks. About 17 million are white. That's 9%. 8.2 million are black. That's 21.2%. 10.1 million are Hispanic. That's about 17.2%. 1.8 million Asian, Native, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander. That's about 9.7%. And then multiple races are about 1.3 million. And that's what makes up the 39.38 million right below. It's a little higher now. That data is actually the last full year that they had was 2020, if my memory serves me correct. Let's go to Henry. Henry, you up?
How you doing this morning, Mr. Newell?
Good, and you?
Well, I'm doing good, thank God. Yeah, but I want to say something about what's going on with our Republican leaders. Okay, they're screaming about abortion and what they want to do with abortion. Okay, but they around here believing a lie. Okay, I heard about Nancy Pelosi also too about the communion. Okay, I read inside of my Bible where that God gave us a will. He didn't push my views on anyone. Mm-hmm. He more or less left it up to me to choose what I want, just me. I can't come into your life, Mr. Newell, and say, hey, look, I'm a Christian. I want you to serve God just like I do. Because that's not going to make you go to heaven. I mean, make me go to heaven by pushing my will on you. And just
but
because
I'm not sure that's what's being done with abortion. Now, do I believe that religiosity enters into the mindset of individuals as they formulate their moral compass? Yeah, I believe that. But Roe,
you can't push your will on someone.
It was pro-choice individuals that were pushing Roe. They were pushing their will on folks. And that's how we ended up with the case out of the Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade.
No, but pro-choice wasn't pushing their will. They were letting them say, for instance, if you want to do this, that's on you.
Yeah, well, they were pushing their will. That's how it ended up in court, right? We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.